Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday morning show, the July 10th edition. I'm host Phil Huff with my co-host Julie Kalamine in the studio. Good morning, Julie.
Well, good morning, Phil. It's been a great week.
Yeah, it has been. Did you have a good weekend?
I sure did. Great weather. It's summer in Sandpoint. What more could we ask for?
Well, did the fish be biting, probably?
That too, but no fishing for this girl this coming week.
What did you do this weekend?
Oh, hiking, gardening, weeding. The weeding really catches up on us after some point.
Yeah, we got out to a couple nice hikes this weekend and yard work.
Yes, It's that time of the year.
Yeah. Speaking of great hikes, we're going to talk with a couple folks this morning from the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness, a great area for hiking. First, we're going to go to the weather, though. According to the National Weather Service, today's high should be 74 degrees. It hardly seems like July. Also, rain.
It's true, and in my short lifetime in Sandpoint, it seems like it never rains in July, and here it is raining. It's nice.
2 years ago, we had rain.
Ah.
But usually, it's dry. July 4th hits, the spigot turns off, and everything dries out, and it was raining this morning at home.
I know, very nice.
Mostly clear tonight, a low of 52. Tomorrow, we do have a return of the sunshine, high of 80 degrees, and then it's in the 80s and 50s for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. With all sun and moon in the forecast.
Perfect Sandpoint weather.
Why don't you introduce our guests this morning, Julie?
I'd like to. These are some of my favorite folks to talk to because they're going to talk about one of my favorite places. We are joined this morning by Britta Meyerly, Assistant Program Coordinator for Friends of Scotchman Peaks, and Mary Franzel, who is this year's and previous year's GOAT Ambassador. Good morning, Britta.
Good morning.
And good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
So good to have you here. Well, why don't you both tell us a little bit about your work, what you do for Friends of Scotchman Peaks. Let's start with you, Britta.
Thanks, Julie. So, like you said, I'm the assistant program coordinator, which means I do a little bit of everything. We are obviously a nonprofit organization, so I help with some of our grants management and fundraising. And speaking of fundraising, right now we have a matching grant. Yeah, there's a foundation called the Cinnabar Foundation that just awarded us a $5,000 matching grant.
Whoa.
So if people want to donate to us, they will match it.
So
that's pretty exciting.
It is exciting and a good way to start. So your work does involve fundraising and it involves work with volunteers and it involves programs. You do lots of things with the organization.
Yes, I definitely do. Volunteer management when it comes to programs that are out in the woods or programs like we just had a booth up at 7B Sunday a couple weeks ago and got some volunteers to come talk to folks and hand out hiking maps and tell them what's up with the Scotchman Peaks. And we were perfectly positioned so you could point between these two poles and be like, that's Scotchman Peak. And people are like, oh, I understand.
Well, it is kind of tough with the peaks in the area. It's true.
It is.
I understand which is which.
We always like to ask what brought people to the area. What brought you here, Britta?
Honestly, a National Geographic article. It was called like top 10 or 15 or whatever underrated ski towns. And my husband and I were living in the Front Range of Colorado and driving 3 hours to ski resorts and then standing in lift lines all day. And so we were like, well, we don't want to live in Reno. So let's take a drive up to this place called Sandpoint. It's only 15 hours away. So we drove up and went, oh, this is beautiful. We came into town along 200. So the Scotchmans were there and like Ponderay and decided to sell our house and move. And that was 2.5 years ago.
Wow.
So I'm a newbie.
And you hadn't found your job yet, or had you?
No, I had not. I came up here unemployed. What? My husband was employed. He had a remote work job, but yeah.
Wow. So that was quite a jump, and it's not an unheard of story, but it really shows a lot of
There's some
courage.
Common threads with a lot of folks who move here for the area's beauty and have a partnership, and one has the job and the other's looking.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So tell us about how you got into this line of work.
I kind of fell into it. I started following all these local groups on Facebook, and the Friends was one of them, and I was looking for work thinking, man, I'm sick of sitting at home. This winter was long, and happened to stumble on this position on the Friends Facebook page, and I got it, which was really, really pretty fun. It was, it's been a very enlightening and fun couple of years.
What a great story of how you how you came here and how you've been able to stay here. And Mary, you have a very specific job with Friends of Scotchman Peaks. Tell us about that.
Well, I am the Mountain Goat Education Coordinator, which is kind of a long title, but I organize and recruit volunteers to hike up the Scotchman Peak Trail 65 every weekend, day, and holiday from mid-June into October. And the they're called Goat Ambassadors, and we educate the public on how to hike safely hike in mountain goat habitat, because there are quite a number of mountain goats that hang out at the top of Scotchman Peak.
And there's a further reason why you're doing that, because we're wanting to keep the goats safe from the people and the people safe from the goats, yes?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Three years ago, they had an incident where someone was injured by a mountain goat, and the Forest Service closed the trail, and it was closed for 6 months. And we don't want to have to, the Forest Service wants to keep the trail open, and we most definitely don't want any further injuries. And we are happy to report that since that incident and the start of the Goat Ambassador Program, there have been no reported injuries and no particularly bad encounters between hikers and goats.
Yeah, it's also good for the goats so they don't become habituated.
Absolutely. They learn that humans are a great source of salt, especially, and up at the top there are a few predators for the goats, so that's a safe place for them. And to go to natural mineral licks, they typically are down lower and there are more predators, so the goats prefer human salt. It's easier.
Very much so.
So three seasons in, that seems to be working?
Yes. They people are every pretty much across the board. The only people that we find that aren't terribly receptive are the trail runners that don't want to stop. And it's just, have a nice day. So they're not rude. They just don't want to stop.
Well, going downhill, they probably can't stop.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But overall, everybody's very interested in the mountain goats and what to do to keep both the goats and the hikers safe.
Yeah, very good. Well, we've heard from Britta how she came to be here in Sandpoint, and we have to hear from Mary because we have a bit of a shared story. We're from the same state.
Yes, I'm from Minnesota, and I've always wanted to live in the mountains. And 13 years ago, I finally got up the gumption and moved out here.
And have been here since.
Absolutely. I live outside of Clark Fork.
Very nice. With dogs and horses and everything, right?
Yep. Looking up at Goat Mountain. How appropriate is that?
And the nice thing about this area is you didn't even have to leave the lakes.
No. Ponderay reminds me of Lake Superior, actually, especially when you're up at Schweitzer. That's how Lutzen was in Minnesota, looking out over Lake Superior.
And especially when you decide to take a swim. Feels about the same.
Yeah. If you go down deeper or jump in the polar plunge.
There you go. Well, very good. Well, we've heard a bit about your job descriptions and we've heard a bit about how you came to be here, but let's move back to Britta and talk a bit about what your day-to-day life is like as assistant program coordinator. Lots of programs.
Yeah. So kind of for reference, the Friends' mission is to protect the Scotchman Peaks for future generations through wilderness designation, ongoing stewardship, and education. And so everything that I do is towards that mission. Everything all of us do is towards that mission, including our programming. One of our reasons for doing programming is the best way to build advocates for wilderness designation for the Scotchman Peaks is to get people outside in the Scotchman Peaks. You can't help but feel like, oh my gosh, this place has to be protected if you spend time in them. It's just such a unique, special place in our area. And so we do programs like wilderness and remote first aid. Granted, we don't do that in the Scotchman Peaks, but we do that with one of our board members is a retired RN. So she is Red Cross certified to do wilderness remote first aid and CPR AED training. And that way, when people go out into the Scotchmans, they can be a little bit safer and know what to do as they're waiting for the helicopter to pick them up. So we've got a course coming up in a couple weeks on July 28th and 29th. And then again in October, if people can't make the July date, it costs $60. And folks can get on our website, scotchmanpeaks.org, Scotchman singular, peaks plural, .org, and click on events to find some information about that. It's also on our Facebook page. If you don't follow us on Facebook, it's just Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness.
And it seems like that would be a subsidized price for a course like that.
It is. The course is worth well over $200, and we only charge $60. So that's basically the cost of the certificate itself, like the Red Cross's fee, and then the book you get. Nice. So we basically just cover our hard costs there. And we're able to have the course in an inside place in one of our partner organizations' offices here in Sandpoint. So we don't have to worry about the weather, whether it's hot or raining.
Of course, there's a little sweat equity involved, too.
There is a little sweat equity. So on top of that $60, we do ask people to donate 2 volunteer days back to the Friends, but it's over the life of the certification. So you've got 2 years to do it. And with all the options we have available, it's pretty easy to fulfill that, fulfill that need.
All right. And they wouldn't all have to be active volunteering. They could be helping out maybe administratively. If you weren't a super active person, you might be able to still take the course and be able to volunteer.
Exactly. I think we are planning on doing a mailing soon. And so if anyone wanted to hand address envelopes for us, man, do we have a job for you.
An excellent volunteering opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Although you'd think that someone getting wilderness first aid would like to be outside where they don't necessarily want to use it, but if they have to, they have it.
Very true. But I always think people, when we think of, I probably am thinking incorrectly that everyone thinks they have to be ultra fit because of Scotchman Peaks, but you really don't. You can take the course and find other ways
to help out. It's good for all. And of course, most things you learn for wilderness first aid, you can apply to the closer into town first aid.
Very true.
Regular.
There are a few differences that when help is close, there are a few things you don't do that you would do if you were in the woods. Or one of the scenarios that our instructor uses is something happens with the long bridge. There's an accident and someone gets injured and you're in Sagal. And what do you do when help is 45 minutes away? So, so you don't have to be out in the woods. Heck, I'm not in that good shape.
I beg to differ.
So tell us about some of the other outreach events this summer, some of the opportunities to meet folks.
So we have quite a few going on, some over in Montana, in Lincoln and Sanders County, but we also have some closer to home. We will have a booth again at the Bonner County Fair this year, which if you aren't aware of the dates, it's August 8th through 11th. And they did switch the dates up a little bit. Last year, they started it on Tuesday, and this year it starts on Wednesday. So Wednesday through Saturday, the 8th through 11th, right in the middle of the festival. So we'll have an outreach booth, and we are looking for folks to come talk to the public. This year, the theme of the booth is going to be about our stewardship work. And so you can talk to people about trail work that we've done, some of the habitat restoration, all the wonderful things to protect the wilderness character of the Scotchmans.
Sounds like a great way to help out and an opportunity for learning, too.
Yes, definitely. And we provide cheat sheets.
Ah, helpful. And speaking of educational programs, there is a lot happening with Friends of Scotchman Peaks, summer and winter. What's happening?
There are. So during the winter, our big program with education is called Winter Tracks. And it's a program we do with schools in both Bonner County and in northwestern Montana. And we even have a couple schools from Spokane that participate through the Lands Council, which is a wonderful partnership. And we get kids outdoors in the winter months to help deepen their sense of place and kind of fall in love with the area during the winter. A lot of kids in the area surprisingly don't get outside, especially during the winter. And so we take them to places that are a little more accessible, like Round Lake State Park is a place that we take kids from Bonner County, and their school buses them there. And we have a horde of volunteers that are amazing and help teach the children about avalanche awareness, mammals, We even have, we got a grant to, Mary's one of our volunteers for the mammals portion, but we got a grant to buy a trunk of hides and pelts and skulls. And there's even a bucket of rubber scat.
Nice.
We had a volunteer, that's the rubber scat bucket with all the scat was scattered on a, scat was scattered, huh? on a picnic table. And one of the volunteers was like, guys, I don't think we want to just start picking it up. Like, oh my gosh. No, it's rubber. It's okay.
So it's, yeah. What you're telling us is it's very lifelike.
It is very lifelike. Yes. Ah.
Kids of all ages love scat.
Yes, kids and adults. And yes, then I think there's fun. A forestry aspect to
there
the winter
track. There is. We do a tree ID portion, and we had a couple really awesome volunteers that are both retired foresters, one from Idaho Department of Lands and one from the Forest Service, the Sandpoint District. Ed Robinson and Jeff Pennick were awesome volunteers this year on the tree ID portion. They showed up, I think, to every single winter tracks in Bonner County, which is a huge commitment, and we greatly appreciate it. So, we just do a whole lot with kids during the winter. During the summer, we try to do kids hikes. We haven't gotten any scheduled yet. So if you're a parent and want to take a group of kids and other parents out in the Scotchmans this summer, we'd love to hear from you.
And another good way to use to fulfill your wilderness rescue volunteering.
Yeah, you can lead commitment. A hike to fulfill that volunteer requirement. That is an amazing way to fulfill that requirement.
And so fun.
What's the best way for someone to actually volunteer, to sign up?
So there's a few different ways. You can get on our website, scotchmanpeaks.org, and under the events tab, click on upcoming events, and a lot of our volunteer opportunities are there. If you don't get our emails already, on our homepage in the upper right corner, there's a button to become a friend, and make sure you sign up for the weekly insider email that has all of our upcoming volunteer opportunities as well as fun events we have going on just to show up to, not necessarily to volunteer for.
Okay. But there's more going on than just educational kids programs. There's white bark pine ecology. There's a lot going on. Tell us about that one.
So this one kind of fell into our lap and was amazing. One of the programs we've done with support from the National Forest Foundation in conjunction with the Forest Service is some white bark pine habitat restoration, surveying white bark pine, and then also assisting the Forest Service with sowing some seeds. We had some awesome volunteers go up twice on Scotchman Peak and along the area that burned on the Southeast Ridge and sow white bark pine seeds last year. And so we've had a verbenone treatment it's a funny stuff that's in a caulking gun looking thing. And caulk kind of the healthy white bark pine trees, and it tricks the pine beetles into thinking they've already been there. And so then they leave those trees alone to try to keep them out of the area. It's like a synthetic version of their hormones that they secrete.
Interesting.
Right? things you learn. So one of the guys that participated in that verbenone treatment is helping to lead this hike. So we've got Jeff Pennick, who was part of the tree ID with Winter Tracks, and also Mike Giese, who's on the White Bark Pine Ecosystem Foundation board, and he is also a retired silviculturist from the Kootenai Forest. They're going to lead a white bark pine hike up Scotchman Peak. So it's not for the faint of heart, because to get to those white bark pines, you're going to be off trail some. But it'll be a really interesting hike to learn about this keystone species to the area, and from some people that are really pretty capable of nerding out about it, which is pretty fun to be around.
And just a great way to help keep the wilderness healthy, right? We're trying to preserve those pines.
Yes. Yep, yeah, we are.
Pretty neat. And they are important. And why are they so important?
So they are kind of a major part of the ecosystem. Have you heard of the Clark's Nutcrackers? So they go up and pick in the pine cones of these white bark pine trees, and then they go around and seed, like they sow the seeds, which is a really cool symbiotic relationship. And then like squirrels and, you know, like ground creatures will find those seeds. And so it's kind of this big, you know, the ecosystem is really huge, and it's kind of this little piece that snowballs.
Yeah, an important piece, a food piece.
So that's a part of what you mentioned earlier with regards to stewardship.
It is, yeah. So not just educating people, but also the stewardship activities to help preserve that wilderness mm-hmm. character.
And part of that's the trail work program that the Friends are undergoing. Tell us a little bit about that program this summer.
Yeah, so we have a very vibrant trail work program that has been going on for quite a few years. Our program coordinator, Sandy Compton, runs that. And we got a grant for the second year in a row from the National Wilderness Stewardship Alliance to help fund our trail work, which is amazing. We're very thankful for that. So we've got a ton of trail work days coming up where we take a volunteer trail crew out into the Scotchmans, and sometimes it's just doing a little bit of light tread work and clearing blowdown from the winter. Sometimes it's rerouting the first mile of the Scotchman Peak Trail. So that one we're done with, but upcoming ones on July 21st, we're going to be on Goat Mountain, close to Mary. on July 28th, we're going to be on the Little Spar Lake Trail, which is up in the Troy and Libby area, if you're wanting to go over to Montana. And then on August 11th, we're on the Big Spar Lake Trail, which is similar area. Little Spar and Big Spar are pretty close together, surprisingly enough. Then over back here on August 25th, we'll be on the East Fork Peak Trail, which is up Lightning Creek Road. And we're doing every year we do a trail work weekend where folks camp out and we provide food, camp food. And that is going to be on Napoleon Gulch, which is along Highway 56 on the southern part of it on September 7th, 8th, and 9th. And then September 29th, we'll be celebrating National Public Lands Day on Morris and Regal Creek Trails. And those ones are also up Lightning Creek Road, so a little bit closer to home.
So something going on almost every weekend.
Right, and all trail work. Britta, tell us a little bit about what people might expect to be helping with. You mentioned a bit of it, but tell us more.
Yeah, so it varies on the trail and kind of what needs to be done, but folks may have a pair of loppers and do some light brushing work or be working on water bars. They could be running a cross cut and cutting out trees that have fallen across the trail. It varies, and it can be just as intense as you want it to be. So if you are not comfortable with a crosscut, that's okay. We've got cute little silky saws. Those work too.
Okay. And like Idaho trails, does one have to be trained in crosscut saw use or?
Yes. Yep. We ask that everyone is trained in crosscuts. Luckily at the beginning of every season, we offer, a crosscut training course, and Sandy Compton, our program coordinator, runs that, and he just took a training to be a bee bucker. Is that, I think, I don't honestly, Sandy's the trails guy. but he has like a higher level certification now, and for crosscut training and for his own ability to use a crosscut. Yeah,
I think what it means is he's certified to train others.
I think that's what that means too.
All right.
And a newbie could come out and with under supervision get a little hands-on experience. So
yeah, we're not going to say, oh, you have all this energy around learning to use a crosscut. Nope, sorry, can't do it. Like, you can definitely help out.
But even people that might not have that level of, want that level of exertion, can they wield a pair of loppers or a shovel or help throw brush off the trail that's been cut?
Mm-hmm. All different ways to get involved with trail work.
Yeah. And it's just such a nice way to give back. If you're a hiker and you enjoy hiking in Scotchmans, either in Idaho or in Montana, it's a pretty good feeling after you've spent a bit of time helping with the trails.
Yeah, definitely. I think getting Facebook messages or emails to our generic email address, info@scotchmanpeaks.org, where people thank us for the trails being in good shape is really nice for the volunteers.
And we've talked a bit about trail work, but after the trail work is done, of course, there's hiking. And are there some hikes planned?
There are. They are all full. Oh, every single one of our hikes is full. Yeah, so the only one that's not is the White Bark Pine one on August 18th. So we desperately need hike leaders. And we have a lot of hikes scheduled. They're just all full and have wait lists.
Wow.
So you can get on our website, scotchmanpeaks.org, and click on hikes. And you can see all of our upcoming hikes and sign up to be on the wait list. But we would love to have hike leaders. So if you are even a little bit familiar with the Scotchman Peaks, if there's a trail that you like up there and you would like to lead a hike, please let us know. We would love to have you.
Well, tell me what it takes to be a leader. You've talked a bit about it, but really just an interest in hiking and a bit of experience on the trail you're leading. Is that it or more?
Yeah, pretty much. We like people to have a little bit of experience leading a hike, but we can kind of help with that as well, because how do you get experience if no one will let you lead? and we love if people have some first aid training, like the upcoming Wilderness Remote First Aid, but we don't require that. But we have a packet that we give folks and with information on what to do if if there's an incident, you know, someone falls down and sprains their ankle or something.
Sure.
Well, Julie, I think it sounds like you want to lead a hike.
You hear me asking those qualifying questions, Phil?
Keep going.
That's right. Yeah. It's possible.
We can look at our schedule.
That's right.
Well, I don't know. All this talk about trail work and hikes and all, it makes me want to take a break.
Let's do it.
So let's go to a song break. If you're just tuning in, this is KRFY 88.5 Pondere, listener-supported radio for North Idaho. And this morning we're talking with two folks from the Friends of Scotchman Peaks, Britta Meyerly, Assistant Program Coordinator, and Mary Franzel, the Mountain Goat Education Coordinator. That is a mouthful. We're going to come back after the music break and hear a little bit more about the Mountain Goat program. I think that one's been lost in the wilderness. I haven't heard it before.
Neither have I, and it's a great song.
What a good find, Julie. Welcome back to KRFY 88.5, the morning show, the Tuesday edition, where we usually talk about things out of doors, North Idaho, outdoor recreation, lifestyle stuff. And this morning, we're talking about something that encompasses all of those. Britta Meyerly and Mary Franzel with the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness are here. We've talked a bit about the programs, the hiking, the stewardship, and now we're going to talk a little bit about mountain goats, what to do and not to do. And Mary is the Mountain Goat Education Coordinator. So give us a little bit more deeper dive into what that means, Mary.
Well, the program was conceived 3 years ago after a gentleman was letting a mountain goat at the top of Scotchman lick him, and he was bitten and required stitches. And the Forest Service was concerned that there would be increasing injuries and bad interactions between hikers and the mountain goats. So they closed the trail for 6 months, hoping that the goats would disperse. And Friends of Scotchman Peaks and the Forest Service and Idaho Fish and Game came up with the idea of having volunteers on the trail to do public outreach with mountain goat education, feeling that the majority of the people want to keep the goats safe and keep themselves safe, and that it was more a lack of education because the goats are so darn cute and there are typically several kids up there, as in mountain goat young kids. There may be children as well, but and they look adorable. They are adorable. However,
the kids are the goats.
Both. But those little mountain goat kids look so huggable. You just want to run
and
over.
They are probably not the ones that are a danger. It's mom and dad. And they both, males and female mountain goats, have horns. And they are sharp. And the goats seek out humans for the salt in your sweat. Plus, there are some people that they are so cute, they share their granola bar with them. And not really realizing that that's habituating the mountain goats. They probably look at it sort of like they put bird seed out in their yard. They're just kind of helping the little buggers on the top with a lot of rocks up there.
Yeah, so similar to feeding a bear, really.
Exactly. Fed bear is a dead bear. That pretty much goes for wildlife in general, that they become aggressive, they want more, and that's how the gentleman ended up getting bit. He wanted to leave, and the goat wasn't quite finished with the amount of salt he wanted. Yeah. So When we have an ambassador hike the trail every weekend and holiday throughout the summer, they briefly stop hikers and say the we would like, the Forest Service says 75 to 100 feet keep away between a goat and a hiker. And the goats will stand in a trail because they're like, hey, here I am. Look, here's a walking salt shaker. And we ask the hikers to yell at the goats, wave their arms, smack their hiking poles together. And if that doesn't work and they still stand there and don't move or approach you, we ask that they throw rocks at their feet or nearby to scare them off. The idea is not to hurt them or scare them off of the mountain, which, believe me, that does not scare them off of the mountain.
Yeah.
No. But they should back off of the trail. They should be 75 feet or more away from a hiker. And dogs help as well. The mountain goats are leery of dogs. The Forest Service, it is advised that people have their dogs on a leash. Don't want any wildlife chasing, or the goats are very nimble on the rocks, and Fido might not be quite so nimble and definitely sure. don't
it doesn't,
want.
It doesn't seem to be the size of the dog. It's just this primal trigger, fear trigger of canines.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. And then if you eat lunch at the top, which, of course, after that hike, it's such a beautiful view, you want to sit down and enjoy it. And we ask that be very careful not to spill crumbs, because those goats have good noses, and a lot of the food that people bring up that does have some form of salt in it, and that's what they're seeking out.
Well, you could be like me and have your lunch early because you're so hungry before yeah. you reach the peak. That would
yes.
be
helpful.
Yeah. And that's actually a good idea, to not eat at the summit, but eat somewhere before or after.
Yes, and an excellent recommendation is to please not feed your dogs at the summit
yeah.
at all, because dogs they crunch and they don't pick up all the crumbs, and it kind of spreads out.
Sure.
And
Mary, I'd like to back up just for a moment about seeing goats on the trail. You mentioned shouting, clicking, maybe throwing a stone in their direction, but not yourself getting off the trail in order to walk around the goat. You'd prefer to have the goat.
Prefer the goat mm-hmm. to respect the hikers there, and they should be a bit leery yeah. of them.
Okay.
Yeah, but if the goat's standing guard on the trail, it's best to move
yes,
around and give it a wide berth.
If okay. they don't back up when you yell at them or toss a yeah. rock, then absolutely go around them. Don't just keep walking towards the goat
okay.
if they're not backing yeah. up.
Sure. And the advice about dogs is interesting, because it's a little bit different than what the National Park System does, which is not allow dogs on any of the trails. So it's kind of a departure from certain other trail systems.
Absolutely. And that's part of the whole education thing, is we want to keep the trail open and allow, that's a big draw mm-hmm. to wilderness, proposed wilderness, national forest, is pets are allowed.
Yes, that's mm-hmm. nice.
Versus a national park, they're allowed in the parking lots.
Correct.
In campgrounds on a leash.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. So, moving on. I've distracted you. Let's talk let's talk more about the remainder of the education. We've talked about staying clear of the goats, not feeding, of course, not having food around, making sure they don't lick you. Are there other salty aspects to our behavior that we need to be careful about?
If nature calls when you are hiking, because you should be drinking a lot of water, it's a long trail, we ask that you go 100, 150 feet off the trail and seek out vegetation or dirt versus a rock. In some areas, they will request that you go on a rock because there is fragile vegetation. We're not as concerned about the vegetation, not that we want to destroy it, but the mountain goats will, no matter where you go, they will seek out that salt, and it's harder for them to get it if it's down, it'll soak down into vegetation
yeah.
soil versus just drying on a rock.
And it's better they don't become habituated to human salt in any form.
Absolutely. And another very important thing, which a lot of people tend to forget, they get to the top and their pack is hot and they're tired of hanging onto their hiking poles, and they might be warm, so they take their pack off, drop their shirt, leave their hiking poles, and they may walk 75 feet away. because there's so many beautiful views. And the goats will come up, and they're very sneaky and very quiet. They don't clip-clop like one might think. And there have been instances where a goat has picked up a hiking pole and started to walk off with it.
Yeah.
So when you take your pack off, keep an eye on your pack at all times.
So don't feed the goats, urinate away from the trail, don't leave your pack unattended. Certainly don't let them lick you. I've heard reports of people doing that.
Absolutely. I have seen several photos that on the internet of people just smiling and thinking it's really cool because this goat is licking their leg. Happy to report that this year I have not found one.
Good.
And these are just public photos that I'm searching, not...
Yeah.
But it's important because it looks like kind of a fun thing to have happen, a goat lick the salt off of you, but it really is dangerous for yourself and the goat's futures.
It's really amazing how many people get caught up in the moment, even people that know better, but you know, something cute and furry comes up to lick them and they can't resist.
It seems kind of irresistible.
And they are really cute. I mean, I doubt that any of those people would think it was neat if a bear were approaching them or a mountain lion. That isn't cute. But the goats, they are adorable.
Yeah.
But if you can't help yourself, there are goat farmers.
Get your own goat.
Yes.
There you go.
Go seek out a domestic goat because they still are wild animals. And the horns, they're horns, not antlers. So they have horns all the time, and they are sharp.
So some of the basic information also applies to other animals you've just mentioned, bears and mountain lions. While the risk factor is low, they can be sighted in the area and should be left alone and kept your distance from. Don't approach and try to get photos.
Absolutely. This past weekend, there were several reports of a bear being spotted on Scotchman Peak Trail, and... It is highly recommended across the board, if you're in the woods, bear spray should be carried, and it actually should not be labeled bear spray. It should be labeled animal spray. If you have mucous membranes, it works on you.
Yeah.
It will work on a moose or a bear or a mountain lion. And about 2 weeks ago at the trailhead, I saw a very nice-looking yearling moose, and someone else reported they saw 3 or 4 elk on the 4th of July.
So really nice. So many opportunities to see wildlife.
And the bear spray would work on mountain goats, but really only as a last resort. If they're so aggressive, you can't get away.
Yes, and we have not received any reports of someone that was like backing up, yelling, and the goat was coming after them.
Right.
They haven't, and that's what we want to prevent.
Yeah. Well, it really sounds like the program is working, and this is sort of an original, right? You didn't model it after another goat ambassador program.
No. Our executive director and the Forest Service district ranger were talking after there were a couple of incidents in 2015, and they came up with this public outreach program. And we have actually gotten calls from other areas that also are concerned about their mountain goats becoming habituated.
Pretty neat.
And so this is sort of as far as we know, it is the only volunteer program of its kind, but...
Right.
Education, for things like this, education is the best form of trying to help people change their habits and trying to get goats to change their habits. And the most effective form of education is right there in the field where things are happening.
It's really turning out to be a win-win. The goats are able to stay where they are, and humans are able to still see them and enjoy them. Mary, what do you like best about your job at Scotchman with the goats?
Well, I get to be outside a lot. I've gotten to know a lot of wonderful volunteers, and it is really fun to meet these people on the trail. I have a couple of volunteers who are, I wouldn't call them shy, but quiet. And it's it's not, you think, oh, you're going to stop somebody and talk to them, but it's not. It's really fun. All of the different places, how somebody ended up here. I just yesterday spoke with someone from Florida, someone from Arizona, and someone from Connecticut.
All on the same day.
Yep.
Wow.
And we have a free map of the Scotchman Peak proposed wilderness area that we hand out if they would like one. And almost without fail, everybody is, oh, wow, yes, thank you. That they are thrilled to get it and thrilled to learn about other areas also. I just explained to someone yesterday about Star Peak, and that's a great hike as well.
That's right. It's not just one hike in the Scotchman's Peak area.
And we are always, we do have some open days for that we would love to have a Mountain Goat Ambassador sign up. It's really easy. I meet with you. It's 10-15 minute little chat. I've got a couple of handouts. And if anyone is interested, you can go to our website, scotchmanpeaks.org, and click on You Can Help across the top and a little drop down menu. And it says Keep Goats Wild.
That's the spot. Mary, do volunteers need to hike to the top of Scotchman Peaks in order to help out?
We like that they would, but you do not have to. We've had several that have gone up to the meadow and then they'll sit there for a little bit, or it just, if the weather turns bad, absolutely, we want you off the mountain.
Okay. Yeah.
Just as long as they're talking to people.
Yes, that you can, and almost without fail, people are thrilled to have a excuse to take a breather.
There you go.
Now, I'm sure you won't give up your favorite location, but are the huckleberries getting ripe?
Actually, yes, they are.
Oh, boy.
And that is probably why the bear might be hanging out a bit there, but I have had some reports that, and there are quite a number of huckleberries not all that far up the trail.
All right. Yeah. Well, I can imagine a few reasons why a person might want to volunteer then.
Well, how wonderful. And one more time for how folks can volunteer for any of the programs.
So the easiest way is to get on our website, scotchmanpeaks.org, and click on events, or like Mary said, you can help. You can also email us at info@scotchmanpeaks.org, and we have a phone number as well, 208-265-4236.
So we're running a little low on time. Any things that we didn't cover you'd like to mention?
Well, people can save the date for a date yet to be determined in the fall. We are going to be doing a fun event called a Wild Night for Wilderness with a certain new brewery that has not opened yet. So just watch for more information about that to come. We're pretty excited.
So wilderness and beer?
Yes.
Get much
That's a
better.
Wild night.
Winning combination for sure.
And there is a goat survey at the bottom of the Scotchman Trail that the Forest Service would love if hikers would fill out. And almost without fail, the comments are, great trail, thanks for the upkeep.
Yay, volunteers.
That's right. Well, I want to thank you both for joining us this morning, Britta Meyerly and Mary Franzell. What a great update on Friends of Scotchman Peaks.
Yeah, thank you for coming in. And if you're just tuning in and you've missed some of the broadcast, as always, you can listen to a podcast later on at krfy.org. This is 88.5 KRFY Pondere, listener-supported radio for North Idaho. We're going to come back after a music break with some current events, so don't go away. But right now, we're going to listen to some Big Head Todd and the Monsters. They're coming up to the festival, Julie.
Soon to be at the festival, Phil.
And who knew? They have a song called Heart of the Wilderness. Maybe they'll play it this August.
Let's hope so.